Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a head-banging song in his heart, here's Nate.
Well, it's better than that song about Sacramento.
Is it?
Yeah, any head-banging song's better than that.
I didn't think I'd have an injury that would affect my podcasting, but I kind of was parked on a hill over the weekend and had the tailgate up, so it was closer to my head than I thought, if any of this makes sense. And I conked my head, like the very top of my head, on the latch. And as it turns out...
Right where the headphones sit?
Yeah, right there. So I had to find like the sweet spot to balance it because my head hurts.
That's not good.
Because I'm an idiot who doesn't know where her body parts are. I'm unself-aware.
Just
want to share that.
Coming up on the show, our friend AJ, who swore on AJ Clemente, who got fired for swearing on his first day on TV. He found a new job. We'll tell you about that. Chris Brown, not popular with his neighbors. And an interesting punishment for bullying that one kid endured. So we'll talk about all of that. So, Christiana, other than the bump on your head, how are you?
I'm good.
You doing okay?
I'm good.
Now, I'm kind of confused. Now, Becca, you don't watch Mad Men, right?
Oh, I do, but I'm a season behind. I've seen everything that's on Netflix.
Okay. So let's...
So don't spoil it.
No, we won't spoil it. Okay. Let's talk for a minute about the last episode of Mad Men. And you were upset about the episode. Now, I was confused. Were you upset about the episode itself, or were you upset more about the people who write the synopsis and the reviews
like
of the
Becca
episodes?
Becca has to take her headphones
Should
off.
I go outside for a little while?
Yeah. Well,
turn off Becca's headset.
Yeah, that's easy enough. We'll just, turn.
Like, I won't be able to hear you. You
there
guys,
you
they're like 2 feet away from me.
We need to put you in like the silent box with the headphones. Like on a game show.
Okay.
No, I won't. I'll talk about it without spoiling.
Yeah.
Okay. I can talk about that.
And the other thing
I was upset about the show itself bothered me.
Okay.
But I was more upset with, across the board now, the critical response to the show.
Okay.
Which to me characterized a pivotal scene in a very casual way.
Right. So my question is, Why do you care about the critics and their synopsis of the show so much? Why is it that important?
Because to me, then it also means that's how a lot of people reacted to the show, and so I was hoping that it. Becca, you got to plug yours for a sec.
Okay, hang on.
Earmuffs.
Mary had a little.
I'll turn her microphone down.
So here's the deal. I think that Don, this is regarding the episode The Crash. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, you should also should tune out for a minute.
Yeah, about 45 seconds.
In this episode, it's revealed more of Don Draper / Dick Whitman's terrible upbringing in a whorehouse where his stepmother took him after his dad gets kicked to death by a horse. He is somewhere between the age of, let's say, 12 and 14.
Yeah,
maybe
roughly.
15.
Yeah, maybe 15.
And he's sick with a cold, and his mom says he's got to sleep in the cellar so he doesn't make the horse sick. And so this kindly prostitute takes him in and says, your mama can't take care of anybody, gives him soup. It's so nice. And then once he wakes up and the fever's broken, he's feeling better, then she rapes him.
Well, she yes. Technically, yes, she does.
See, technically, yes, he does. I mean, he didn't look... He didn't scream no. He definitely said, please don't do this to me.
Right.
But, you know, he's a terrified, fucked up, abused little boy anyway. So then she sleeps with him.
Right.
And I think that was very important. But even if you don't want to call it rape, like, at least call it something more than, he was deflowered. She took his virginity, snicker, snicker, snicker. I think this is a pretty key moment of, like, why this guy's as fucked up as he is.
Absolutely.
He's super fucked up. So it bothers me that they treat it so casually.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was more of a product of how that would be treated in the time frame in which it took place.
Right.
Like, things that
Yes. Yes, I think you're totally right about that. And that's why part of the reason he's tamped this down very deeply in his soul.
Yeah.
So, but the way that we react to it in our time, I would think that we would say like, oh, let's unpack this a bit and see. I bet this is part of why he's super messed up when it comes to women.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I think they'll probably hit that later in the show.
I'm hoping so.
This has been a slow unveiling of him from season one all the way through. And I thought to sort of go with your thing, when his daughter said, and I won't reveal anything more than that, she's on the phone with him, she goes, I asked this lady all these questions about you, and she knew the answers to all of them. Then I realized I don't really know anything about you.
Right. I mean, the show beats you over the head with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I was just...
And the guy from... And apparently, you know, I'm super wrong. I posted a comment saying to Tim Goodman, who's the former Chronicle television critic who now writes for Hollywood Reporter. And if I follow him on Facebook, and I posted that I was disappointed that he also just called it deflowering. And he said that he thought that if they meant it was rape, they would have been more obvious about it in the way they filmed it. But I still think they were. I think we as like a culture have a problem dealing with it when it comes to when it's gender reversal. Because if it was if it was Danielle Draper at 15.
Yeah, and that's always been the case, and it'll always be the case, that there is that flip-flopping, but that's far from the only thing that messed up Don Draper.
Come back, Becca.
Yeah. Yeah, Becca's still humming over there. We're good.
And we're clear.
And we're clear.
After a while, I was like, are they just fucking with me now? Are they just going to go on with the rest of the show while I plug my ears and sing Mary Has a Little Lamb, which I did for that whole entire time. It's a really short song.
You should have been singing the Sacramento song.
You should have been.
Actually, no, at the end, I changed to a little Jay-Z, but for the most part it was
funny. I really thought about bringing your mic up so that we could hear a little of that, but I decided to pass. Now I just wanted to clear that up because that was something that you posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then we went back and forth on it, and I'm like, I'm confused at what she's upset about.
Yeah, well, I wasn't upset because you thought on Facebook I was mad at the show writers. I wasn't really. I think the show handled that situation the way that it would have been handled at the time.
Right.
I think, you know, we're supposed to give that some kind of meaning or import, and I was surprised that...
Oh, I disagree completely. It's TV. You don't think too much about TV. You'll hurt yourself.
That's all Matthew Weiner wants to do. I, however, do not think it's a great season of Mad Men. I'm thoroughly annoyed. I think that they spend a lot of time patting themselves on the back for how clever they're being, and I don't think they're being clever. I think they're like, symbolism, check it out, here we are, look, death, you know, existential crisis.
Okay, here's what bothers me most about this season of Mad Men. The sideburns and the way Peter Campbell is shaving his hairline to look like he's balding, because Vincent Kartheiser is not balding, so they're actually shaving these weird hairlines into him.
It doesn't look good.
It's off-putting as all.
He goes out and he's got like head stubble.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the pictures of him out and about? He's got head stubble. You shouldn't have head stubble. But the big problem is that he's marrying Alexis Bledel in real life. And
that a problem?
Because he's too much his character, and it upsets me to see him marrying Rory Gilmore. It's just not right.
All right. So May is bike month. How's that for a transition? It's not. It's just a complete. Yeah,
I get to take my fingers out of my ears, I'm delighted with the transition.
So May is bike month. I've registered. I'm logging my miles on my bike. I pledged 60 miles in May, and as of this recording, I am only 6 miles short of my pledged goal.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 6 miles in.
No, you completely
rock, Nate. That is really good.
It's not that much, though. It's only, if you figure it out over the month, it's only 2 miles a day, and because I bought my sweet new bike...
You want to ride it everywhere.
It's fun to go. I have fun like an 8-year-old has fun on their bike. So that's what I'm like. And here's the other thing that I really like. I now kind of have an understanding what it's like to be a hot girl, because dudes leer at this bike constantly. It's a little disturbing.
You're like, my face is up here, people.
I get the leers. And here's the only thing that bugs me about that. I don't get that from any chicks. I think they're giving it like the side glance, but they're not giving it the up and down. Because they're like, oh, that guy's riding it.
No, chicks don't. We don't up and down glance at people. I mean, I think the way that chicks check things out is way subtle.
Or if it's to negatively judge an outfit, we'll be like, what are you wearing?
But yeah, I went on a long ride over the weekend, and like I was stopped in various places, and this guy was in a pickup truck, and I was stopped there, and I walked over the railroad tracks because the train was stopped. So I got off the bike, walked it over the railroad tracks because the bars were down.
And he drove by and said, boo! Call back.
And he's sitting in his truck as I'm getting everything, you know, getting back on the bike. He gives that weird look like he wants to rape my bike. And I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to be a chick. I'm
glad you have somewhat of a taste.
So I'm sorry.
You're dangerously close to Bill Maher in the story from the other show.
That'll happen. I'm all in favor of bicycle. Obviously, I bike. My rule on a bike is this. Can I make it? But I see a lot of bicyclists who are just dicks about that, that they couldn't actually make it, but they make you slam on your brakes in order to not hit them. And it, there's a lot of venom each way, not just here, but also in England. There's a lot of anger in England. I hope Rob's going to be okay there. I really do.
They're really, this is like the only two incidents of anger in the last probably 2 years in England.
Oh, that's it? Okay. So this woman, Emma Way, tweeted, definitely knocked a cyclist off his bike earlier. I have the right of way. He doesn't even pay road tax. Hashtag bloody cyclists.
Idiot.
Then the Norwich police, which I believe we had a story from Norwich earlier, replied at MOA20. We have had tweets refer and an RTC with a bike. We suggest you report it to a police station ASAP if not done already, and then direct message us. So,
idiot.
She tweeted that she knocked somebody off their bike.
She hit and ran. Ha ha ha. And, hashtag funny.
And then the cops tweeted her back. So how easy, how hard, I mean, how polite is England in some places where they're just like, just turn yourself in. We know you did it. And then direct message us when you arrive.
This is like one of my favorite things to watch in the ever-changing world of social media is the way that governments, local governments especially, are using it to be helpful, but the way other types of government are using social media, it's just fascinating to me.
Well, the police didn't sniff her out on their own. There were people that narked her out. So if you're going to be tweeting stuff like that, here's the thing. Twitter goes out to everybody. Let me just make that
really
clear.
They also, you know, I don't think that link has the updates, but so Jalopnik picked this up too.
Right.
And they, other hits that she had posted in her, other photos she had posted and tweeted were like her hashtag ha-ha-ing over driving 95 miles an hour and her tailgating people and her texting while driving and taking pictures.
Wow.
Like, she's just done everything possible wrong. But through the magic of Twitter, they've been able to, they found her, the guy who got hit came forward and now the police department is like, we can't talk about it anymore because now it's an investigation.
And her Twitter page does not exist anymore.
Right.
So.
And yet the internet never forgets.
No. There was always some fucker at Reddit pulling it up for you. With their witch hunts and stuff like that. It's like,
she's so stupid. They figured out her place of work.
Oh, yeah.
And then her employer tweeted, like, that's, you know, mean, shameful, shameful, naughty her. what an idiot.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it was bad. Now, Becca, you wanted to feel good. Last show, you were like, I don't have anything that makes me feel good. It's kind of a sad show. This might make you feel good. This is the national anthem at the Memorial Cup, which is the championship of the junior hockey in Canada. So this is from Saskatchewan. And it doesn't say Swan, it says Saskatchewan. It's the punchline. Anyway, I'll tell that joke later. I'll tell the joke at the end of the show.
Canadian humor.
No, it's not Canadian at all. So this lady is singing the national anthem, and it didn't go well, but there's something that sort of made people go, oh, that's nice.
Join tonight's honor guard representing the Korea Veterans Association of Canada and the Canadian Peacekeepers and Alexis Norman in the singing of the Star Spangled Banner and O Canada.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's first gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night.
Oh, dear.
Crowd getting on a little bit, but she pushes through. But she's lost. No.
Is she Canadian? It's okay.
And the rise of
not even the Rockets.
There you go.
The
crowd's like, we got this.
Somewhere in the middle there, Louie Gohmert took over her brain. She forgot the words.
I had like two very conflicting feelings listening to that. Like part of me was like, oh my gosh, how terrible, because she's out there by herself and she's just so lost. And like to have the spotlight on you and just not be able to get it back. And it was such a long song and I felt so bad for her. And then part of me was like, how do you not know that you don't know the Star Spangled Banner? Like, you are hired to sing it. How do you not know until you're already halfway through it that you don't know the words? I mean, it wasn't just that she forgot the words. Like, she was just making shit up. Like, she's like, this is phonetically kind of like the song. Yeah. How do you not know that you don't know the words? Like, practice, rehearse. I don't know.
She just really wanted to get to O Canada.
Yeah, and I loved the crowd at a certain point realized she's so lost.
We're just in it. We got this, you guys.
Yeah, and they the crowd just picked her up, and then she sang, and then they picked it up, and then she sang along with them. And I thought that was just something really nice. That was one of those, because when she first messed up, they were like, ha, 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 yeah. And then they're like,
and then they remembered they were Canadian, at least half of them. Yeah. And said, you guys, come on, we're nice.
Yeah, well, there might have been a few Americans. The Portland Winterhawks were there, so there were a few Americans.
Portland, Maine?
No, Portland, Oregon.
Interesting.
There is no team in Portland, Maine.
Did someone take her out for a donut afterwards?
Oh, I would say that would require a regular Tim Hortons or at least some Timbits.
Nice.
So that sort of made me feel, I mean, the reaction, I just... the reaction that I heard from a lot of people were like, oh, it's so cool that the crowd sort of helped out with that.
That is cool. That is cool. I think it's just that my inner perfectionist, my inner straight A student is like, how could you let that happen?
Yeah.
I would be a terrible mom,
I feel
you
that
guys.
Way, but then I flash back to the times in Critical Hit when I'm like, oh my God, what the hell were those lines?
Yeah. It's easy when you get scary. Out in front of...
If she's, I'm assuming she's Canadian, so I'm sure she knows O Canada. Sure. Like by heart, if I had to sing O Canada, I'd get through about the first 8 bars. Now, yeah, if I was supposed to sing it, I think I've learned it.
I'm pretty sure there's only 8 bars in O Canada. It's a much easier song to sing.
My home and native land.
Yeah.
And stuff. Leaves.
True patriot love.
Syrup and hockey.
Donuts.
Ta-da!
That sounds like a Homer Simpson thing. Now we talked about I think it was last week. We talked about. Abercrombie and Fitch's CEO Mike Jeffries not wanting not so cool kids or women to wear a size large of his company's clothes. Well,
I really wish we had an LFO song cue during this. New kids on the block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food. No, come on, anybody?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. well, this guy decided to take on. Mike Jeffries on his own and sort of rub his face in it. And here's what he did.
It's a terrible company. Their CEO insists on only hiring attractive people, which is ironic because he looks like this. In addition, he has made a point of refusing to sell extra large or extra extra large clothing to
I have a piano and I know three keys.
Women wearing his clothes.
Like evil Jaws.
Abercrombie and Fitch CEO and old Biff lookalike explains this policy by saying, "In every school there are the cool and popular kids, and then there are the not so cool kids.
Right.
We go after the cool kids.
Okay.
A lot of people don't belong and they can't belong. Are we exclusionary? Absolutely." To make matters worse, when clothing is damaged, instead of donating it to the poor or unfortunate,
it sounds
they
like
burn
David
them.
Sedaris talking.
Abercrombie.
No, he's just your garden variety dick.
Kind of person to be wearing their clothes.
No, this guy talks.
Today, we're going to change their brand.
You're saying it's a dick?
Yeah,
to
garden variety.
Goodwill, where I scoured the racks for donated Abercrombie and Fitch clothing. They were hard to find at first, and I began to worry that Abercrombie was sending representatives to the thrift shops to buy up all the clothes and thus keep them elite.
Paranoid much?
I had an idea.
Where is, like, the douchebag section? Like,
jackpot. Next, I headed to East Los Angeles, also known as Skid Row. The
That's
location
not
of
in
one
East
of the
Los Angeles.
Of homeless people
That's not
in
East LA. Skid Row was fucking downtown.
Yeah, it is. Told you, douchebag.
I know.
At first, people were reluctant to accept the clothing. Perhaps they were afraid of being perceived as narcissistic date rapists. But pretty soon, they embraced it wholeheartedly.
and my expedition was a huge success.
Because homeless people are funny.
He's just handing out clothes, Abercrombie and Fitch clothes, to people on Skid Row. Making snarky comments all the way. I know he thinks he's taking someone to task for this, but he's really just as big a dick as the CEO of Abercrombie and Fitch. He's just a different type of dick.
I agree. Mm-hmm. This made me so uncomfortable. Like, when, like, all you can hear, if you haven't seen the video, is the narration where he's saying, they embraced it wholeheartedly. It was a huge success. But what you actually see is he's, you know, he or whoever is, you know, on his crew handing out clothes to homeless people on the street who just kind of look bewildered or confused. Like, nobody, there isn't even one person on his video who's like smiling, like, yay, I'm glad to be a part of this. They're just kind of like, okay, thank you for handing me this. And then he's like, ha ha, we're going to show you by putting your clothes on these gross homeless people who are even grosser than people who are large. So ha ha. And it, I don't know, the whole thing is just kind of mean spirited and self-congratulatory at the same time.
I do appreciate, however, his linking of Mike Jeffries to Old Biff.
Yeah, sure.
That part was accurate.
Yeah, I mean, there were funny parts to it. What I had a problem with, and it goes along with what you were saying, is your whole thing is the guy who runs Abercrombie and Fitch has said that he doesn't want a certain type of people wearing his clothes because they have an image that they want to uphold. And then you go to Skid Row and do some of the most dehumanizing things that I've seen people do to people.
Props.
I mean, just randomly going up to homeless people and just handing them clothes. Like, here, you look homeless, have this shirt. Or here, have these pants. And they're like, what are you talking about? They all look really bewildered. Now, some of them, I'm sure, have no idea what's going on. But if some random stranger comes up to you and says, here's some clothes, and you live on the streets, you're going to be very suspicious of that. This wasn't somebody who went to the thrift store.
Especially if they have a camera crew with them.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, they're thinking bum fights or some crazy shit like that. So, yeah, fuck this guy. Greg Carber, fuck you. You dick. You garden variety dick.
I saw a more interesting take on this today on Jezebel. I don't know if you saw it, where there was a blogger. I'm going to forget her name now. God damn it. But she did like a photo shoot. She went to, there was a photographer in her town that did a photo, and she's not, you know, not an Abercrombie, not a Mike Jeffries ordained Abercrombie size girl, but she did a photo shoot with a hot male model all wearing Abercrombie clothes, like in seductive poses and stuff. That's a big, like, fuck you. Like, this is still hot. You're an asshole. Which is a much better, like, that's a much more empowered reaction to that story than using people as props. I got mad at this happens a lot. I think people who think they're being well-meaning with homeless people. When I was in high school, we did this tour of LA and we were told to, like, pack fruit to give to the homeless instead of money so you can hand it out. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to, they're not a petting zoo. I'm not going to take stuff to feed them. Like, it's,
they're not,
that's
the goats.
Kind of nice, but that's, you know, whatever. But the worst thing, when I was in college, there was a book, I can't remember what it was, but it was about, like, these people who lived for a week as homeless, and then they, you know, they ran these, like, trip, you know, walk a mile in their shoes thing, whatever. And I, for some reason, I find that so off-putting. Because not only are you now competing with people for the resources that are out there, because it's a cute field trip, like, you still don't fucking have any idea what it's like to be homeless.
Right, because in a week or 3 days or whatever.
And you can tag out anytime you want. If it gets to be a little rough, you can go home. I find that whole thing is kind of like, there's two kids from my college who have filmed a movie called Living on One, where they live on $1 a day in countries where you do that. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Right.
I probably shouldn't judge it without seeing it. But that, to me, like, is the same kind of issue where I know they're drawing attention to poverty, and sometimes you have to do that to get people to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not the same. Like, you're not an impoverished person living in Bangladesh or whatever. You're white college-educated kid who's doing this, who's now touring and making a movie and probably going to make a bunch of other movies because you made a bunch of contacts and you made your fancy movie. I don't know. I'm sure they're still nice guys, but
it's kind of like it's getting really trendy to do that whole like I lived on food stamps for like a week or whatever, like politicians and news writers and stuff. And one of my previous jobs where I was making very little and I was working part time, but the amount of money I was making was pretty much the same amount of money that someone who was working full time on minimum wage would be making.
Mm-hmm.
And my bosses, or not my bosses, but the whole group of people is sitting around this table kind of going, we should do a story about what is it like to live on minimum wage, you know? And they were like, who's going to be willing to like take on this investigative task and figure out like what you would have to cut out of your life and all that. And I was just sitting there thinking, that's how much you pay me. You pay me this same amount. Like, does nobody else know? Like, you know, what would it be like to not have benefits? What would it be like? You know, and I'm just sitting there and like, well, I can tell you because I've been doing it for 2 years working here. But I didn't say that. I just doodled.
Oh, see, I would have. That's the difference between you and me. I would have called them out at that very moment. I would have said, I can tell you exactly right now because that's exactly my situation. But here, when they hire part-time people in places, they don't consider that whole fact because they go, oh, well, you're part-time. You can have another job somewhere or whatever.
Right.
That's totally how that works.
Yeah.
You could just collect all the jobs.
Right.
Just work five. Is that hard?
As someone who worked three jobs for a period of time, you can collect a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
But none of them will you get enough hours to get benefits. You know, it's like you'll just have a bunch of little part-time cobbled together things, at least in my experience.
I had when I was working three jobs, I did have one full-time job.
Ooh.
And two part-time jobs.
Ooh.
Two of them in retail, one of them in radio. And the radio job was working nights on the weekend. I was working 7 days a week to do this.
Wow.
And I had,
soul crushing.
And during the week, I worked in two different stores in the same mall. I worked at TJ Maxx during the day, and then I would get about a half an hour break between the end of one job, and I would start my job at the kids' store at the other end of the mall about a half hour after I finished at TJ Maxx.
Okay, actually, first, I'm like, Nate used to work at TJ Maxx. Like, I'm trying to picture because you know their commercials. Like, I'm a fashionista. Yeah, and I'm trying to picture you doing that. And then I was thinking, that's so incongruous with my idea of you. And you were like, and then the kids' store. And I was like, okay, now my mind is blown. Like, both of those things, I find it really hard to picture you working there.
That's exactly what I was doing. A 23-year-old Nate Darling was working at TJ Maxx and a store called Burlington Kids, which is not open anymore, I don't believe. But so I worked at TJ Maxx, and then I went down the hall and worked at the other place, and I was working 12 and a half hour days on those days. I would be at work before 9 a.m. and work finished up at 9:30 p.m.
Wow.
So I was doing those. I had at least 3 days a week like that, and then Saturdays and Sundays I was working 7 to midnight. So, yeah, I mean, you can collect a lot of jobs, but your quality of life is really, really low.
Right.
And you still don't get benefits. Like, just if they add up to 40, that's not how that works.
Yeah, right. I mean, it wasn't like I was, I mean, I did have benefits, but they weren't good benefits. It was just something, and I was living in a studio basement apartment at the time. So how's that for an exciting lifestyle? Studio basement apartment.
But you had your toe in your foot in the door of radio, which was like your dream, right?
Well, I had worked in radio before, and I had quit a job for I won't even go into it here, but I left that job to move to a bigger place where there were more opportunities, and there were. This was not something that went on forever. This is something that went on for like 5 or 6 months, and then, you know, jobs change and things change, stuff like that. But there was a time when I was working three jobs, and yeah, it sucks. Nothing sucks more than having multiple jobs. I mean, other than having no job, which I've done too. I did that for 5 months at one point, which I know is nothing compared to most people. But yeah, that was bad too. So last show, I mentioned how meter maids suck. Well, the city of Keene, New Hampshire is suing a group of do-gooders for allegedly, here's their horrible crime, topping off parking meters of strangers. The group, which calls itself Robin Hood and His Merry Men, likes to leave notes on the windshields of cars that are in danger of getting a ticket due to an expired meter. The note reads, "Your meter expired, however, we saved you from the king's tariffs. Robin Hood and His Merry Men. Please consider paying it forward." The note then lists an address where people can send donations if they wish. Now, according to the newspaper, The city claims Robin Hood and his merry men have, quote, intentionally taunted, interfered with, harassed, and intimidated the city's three parking enforcement officers. The suit also alleges the group follows the parking enforcement officers around the city and uses video and radio equipment to coordinate their efforts. All told, six citizens are named in the city's lawsuit. One of the defendants, James Cleveland, spoke to the newspaper about it. Excuse me. He said the video recording or talking to them is harassing them, but I don't agree with that, he said. So they want to unleash a safety zone of 50 feet. The lawsuit, according to the union leader, that's the paper, lists a bit of trash talking on the part of the Robin Hooders. And the filing parking enforcement officer, Linda, said, besides following me, crowding me, and making video recordings of my activities and placing coins in expired meters to prevent me from writing tickets, these individuals repeatedly taunt and harass me, asking why I'm stealing people's money and telling me to get another job. In particular, Graham Coulson.
So they're Nate. Why are you doing this, Nate?
All I do is boo as I drive by. I don't have time for this. Graham Coulson likes to taunt me by saying, Linda, guess what you're not going to do today? Write tickets. That's really low on the taunting scale. Unless there's some sort of quota that Linda has to meet with writing parking tickets, don't harass Linda. Don't get all up in Linda's face. But if you go ahead of Linda and put money in the meter, that's Linda's loss. I'm sorry.
If you go ahead and put money in the meter and you put little notes on the cars, like, that's all fine. That's sweet, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's the videotaping, the harassing someone, like, all of that is douchey. I don't know. I think this is kind of in a line with the story we just did about the Abercrombie and Fitch video. Like, yeah. People who think that they're doing something really awesome that also has, like, really dehumanizing aspects to it.
Right. Well, this happened in Santa Cruz, where some clown, mm-hmm. and I do mean a literal clown, because Santa Cruz was going around feeding meters, and he either got arrested or fined or something, and it was a whole thing, because this was his, like, street art / good Samaritan / whatever. He just spent all day feeding meters to people who were about, you know, who were going to expire. I don't think he was harassing any meter maids, but it was this whole deal about, well, could he do it, and what was the point, and it was the time limits, and you had to move because of commerce, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Now, you're thinking the city is looking to protect their people, right? That's why they're filing the lawsuit? Au contraire.
No, they're looking to protect the business owners, probably.
Nope. The city is concerned that parking enforcement officers will quit. That would cause financial hardship because the city would have to hire and train new officers. That's according to the lawsuit. So the city is not protecting its meter maids, which they should be doing. They're filing lawsuit. Because the meter maids might quit and they'd have to hire somebody else.
That's not that weird. I don't see that.
No. I didn't say it was weird. I'm pointing out that it happened.
Are you saying that no one cares about Linda? Is that the real problem?
You know, no one cares about Linda, really.
Linda, I care. If you're listening, I care. I'm sorry this is happening to you.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't be harassing people. I mean, you shouldn't harass people that are doing their jobs. I don't advocate harassing meter maids or parking enforcement officials
or traffic wardens.
Yeah, whatever you call them. I do fully support if you want to drive by and lend a little boo their way. I don't think that should be frowned upon because I do it. Only randomly, though. Only when I'm in a mood will I do that. But I would never go up to someone writing a ticket going, hey, man, why are you ruining people's lives? What are you doing? It's like, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But that doesn't mean I can't boo you.
I will say my one meter-related complaint about Sacramento right now is that I read that they're going to put in another new type of meter, which is good because it's the kind of meter where you can dial in from your phone to recharge it, which, of course, undoes all the other arguments for having a time-limited meter at a place, but fine. But, God, we're going to have three kinds of meters, and it's already annoying to me now because it's like whenever I have a bunch of quarters, then there's the pay and display machine, then I waste the quarters. And then I go to one where there's, like, the individual meter that only takes quarters.
Right.
And then I've already used the quarters, and it bothers me. I wish they were either all pay and display or all quarters or preferably just machines that took all kinds of coins. And
yeah.
Only
what's wrong with my dime? It's legal tender.
You
bitches.
Can use them in the pay-in display, but you can't use it anywhere else. And then the pay-in display is kind of annoying because you can't fill up anybody's thing, and you have to go back, and it's just that time. So it's like, if you're gonna go into the dentist, you just need to add 10 more minutes. You can't just add 10 more minutes because your sticker says it's gonna expire at a time certain.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things where you have to sort of time out in your head how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, ah. And for me, I went to Fleet Feet on J Street to get some shoes last week. And I pulled into the parking spot at the parking time ends at 6.
Mm-hmm.
5:55.
That's annoying.
And I put a quarter in the pay and display because I'm like, you know what? If I don't put the quarter in to get me past 6 o'clock, one of those three-wheeled pricks is going to come rolling down here in their little clown car with their bicycle helmet on, and they're going to give me a $52 ticket for not paying to park.
At 5:59.
That yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rob's best story. He didn't get there right at the same time, but he had the pay and display thing. It expired at 11:59 a.m., and the ticket he received was timestamped noon.
Yeah.
So you know the person was there going, and send.
Exactly. Because they're dicks.
So he still didn't get out there until like 20 minutes later, so it wouldn't have mattered, but still.
Well, So sometimes they're dicks. Anyway, I've caught a lot of flack for keeping up with the Kardashians, but I'm far from the only person to do it. And finally, someone else of such a stature as myself has come out and admitted it. That's right. Bryce Dallas Howard revealed that she is obsessed with the Kardashians. That's right. Ron Howard's daughter, Bryce Dallas Howard, has grabbed the attention of people around the world, starring in films like The Village and 50-50 and The Twilight Saga and The Help. What a lot of people don't know is that the mother of two is extremely interested in directing recently advised actress Brittany Snow and Octavia Spencer. Oh, my God, this is so horribly written. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she keeps up with the Kardashians. that's her guilty pleasure that she does. And she doesn't care who knows. So there you go. Somebody else has finally stepped up. This is just such a pile of... Sometimes I want to drive to the Huffington Post and just find people and shake them and go, what is wrong with you? I know it's on the internet, but for God's sake, right, right.
Right, right.
Exactly. And then people will have me escorted out like I'm crazy because, you know, that's how it goes.
So the only way that I keep up with the Kardashians at all is when I see one of them on a magazine when I'm at the supermarket and it's in the checkout aisle. And the latest ones, like the last ones have been like Kim's sad face for like weeks and weeks, like Kanye is distant, Kanye is this. And then the recent one is like Kanye is gay. And like, what's the deal? Are they not happy anymore? Like, it was like Kanye won't marry me. And now it's like Kanye maybe has a boyfriend.
They do tend to be right on a lot of stuff, though, which is weird. Like ever since the whole John Edwards, like National Enquirer reveal, you kind of have to go with... What was it? And was it Men in Black where that was the they were like the real newspapers, and that's where they managed the aliens were transmitting all their actual information? No, nobody. Thanks, guys.
No, I remember that.
Thanks for this.
That was one of the weird things. So, yeah, I'm glad somebody else came out and admitted it because the show wouldn't still be on the air if people didn't watch it. But I'm the only person who will admit that they keep up with the Kardashians aside from Bryce Dallas Howard. So thanks, Bryce.
So does the show, like what I see on the covers of magazines, is this stuff being addressed on the show? Like, do you have any insight into Kanye's sexuality?
No. Well, here's the thing. The show that we'll see, that they're not on right now. So they're taping right now.
Okay.
So my guess is we will see it in about 4 months.
Okay.
So everything that there is, there's this production delay.
So the magazines are ahead of the show.
Right. The magazines are coming out, which here's the rub on this whole thing. The magazines feed the drama of the show. So one has to ask themselves, where are the magazines getting this information from? Is it being fed by the Kardashians themselves to keep them relevant so that they'll address it on the show?
I'm sure that it is.
So there's that whole thing there, but it's kind of an interesting sort of sidebar to it.
Well, the Nate Darling Show.
Sorry.
Cool.
Or
Tool.
Whoa. Gotta move this along, sorry. First up in Cool or Tool, the guy giving Abercrombie & Fitch to hobos, Becca.
Tool.
Christiana.
Tool, but also stop calling them hobos.
I shall not. He's a tool. Up next, suing people who feed meters. Christiana.
Tool.
Becca.
Cool if they're really being sued for harassing Linda.
No, they're just suing people for feeding meters. That's the question.
Oh, Tool.
There you go. Absolutely, Tool. People who feed meters are doing God's work. Right, Pat Robertson? Anyway, and finally in Cooler Tool, people who keep up with the Kardashians. Becca?
Cool, Nate.
Christiana?
It's fine. I can't be more committal than that. I think it's fine.
I'm going to have to recuse myself because I in fact do that. And, I don't want to, brag about myself. Because that would be wrong. That's Cooler Tool. We whipped through that one quickly because we have to. We're running late. This was an interesting story that you sent me today.
I did.
There's a lot of problems going on with bullying in schools. Mm-hmm. And one mom found out that her daughter or her stepdaughter was being a bully. So she found an interesting way to deal with it. She decided to give him a little bit of her own medicine.
All right, Gene, thank you. Putting a stop to bullying in schools can be a difficult task for teachers and administrators. But a mother from Murray who found out her daughter was relentlessly teasing another student decided to teach her daughter a lesson by giving her a taste of her own medicine. Fox 13's Caroline Conley joins us in studio tonight to tell us about that. Caroline.
Yeah, hi, Bob. When this mom got word her fourth grader, Kaylee, was picking on another student every day because of the way the girl dressed, she wanted her to know that what it felt like to be judged by the clothes you wear. We spoke with Kaylee today, but in an effort to not embarrass her more than her mother's lesson, we decided to blur out her face for this story.
She wore this beautiful ensemble.
A $50 pile of clothes has proven to be an invaluable lesson for 10-year-old Kaylee. For the last 2 days, the fourth grader's wardrobe has been replaced with outfits her mom picked out at a thrift shop, hoping she'd see what it's like to spend a day in someone else's shoes.
She really needs to know that this had such an effect on someone else's life that she has to feel how that felt to know that it was wrong.
Wednesday, her mom got word from a teacher that Kaylee had been bullying a classmate for the last 3 weeks, harassing the student about how she looked to such an extent that the girl wanted to leave school.
And then she would take her onto the playground and call her names and tell her she was a slob and tell her she dressed like a sleaze.
But when just talking to Kaylee didn't seem
it didn't seem to get through because she's 10. So 10-year-olds are apparently calling their classmates sleazes.
Which, there's just a lot of layers of problem.
There are. let's move on.
Get the message across. Mom decided to show her.
I thought this is a perfect moment for us to really teach her this is right and this is wrong. Which path are you going to take?
The tactic strays from the norm, according to Dr. Doug Goldsmith of the Children's Center.
What happens with that is the person...
Okay, I hate this guy. Let me just preface this by, I hate this guy.
Person walks away at the end saying, now I'm really angry. That was humiliating, and I'm angry.
He recommends a different approach in cases of bullying.
What may be better for most parents is if we teach children empathy by having them volunteer in a place where there's poor people.
But when Kaylee got home from
school... Okay, I'd be angry if you made me go volunteer at a place with poor people. I would be more angry at that. Because at least if you go to school in, like, weird clothes, you can just go, yeah, my mom's being a bitch and she's making me wear this to teach me a lesson
no,
to all your friends.
No, they're 10. I'm not sure that...
Whatever. But it's like, that guy's like, yeah, people get angry. I don't want to get angry. It's okay. What are you talking about?
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. Bullying's bad. Okay. We won't talk about angry.
Okay, you have to stop. That's terrible.
It's really funny. That is funny. The story is not funny.
Mr. fucking Mackey. God. Settle down, counselor. So basically, the story is this 10-year-old girl was teasing her classmate, and her mom decided the best way to deal with it would be to give her a taste of her own medicine and put her in some shocking thrift store clothes that
which if she were in college she'd be like, sweet, look what I found. She'd be all Macklemore, yeah.
so the question becomes, I mean, what do you think this is a good form of punishment, or do you agree with Mr. Mackey, okay, that it's bad?
I'm totally torn. I'm not sure how I feel about it, because I think, first of all, there's a big problem if the girl's really not getting it from a conversation at all. I mean, she's 10. She should be slightly impressionable from her parents.
Yeah, but still, it at that age, I mean, if you think back to 10 years old, if you were all a defiant child at all and had this, if I mean, not you in particular, but I mean, anybody.
Well, I mean, I'll throw it out there.
Yeah, I was not.
Yeah, I mean, your parents could talk to you and be like, Yeah, okay.
Well, you're kind of hoping, I mean, by doing this, you're sort of hoping and assuming that other kids are going to act badly too, so you're just sort of drawing out more negative behavior. I don't know.
Well, I don't think you draw, I think that negative behavior is there anyway.
I mean, there was a girl, I remember that there was a girl in my elementary school class who, like, her family ran a dog kennel, or maybe they were just pet hoarders, I'm not sure, but she was always, she was the dirty, smelly girl in class, and so she got made fun of a lot, and I mean, I think I made a comment about her once, and my mom was sort of like, you know, she doesn't have as much money, this is the way her family is, you know, I don't know, it was a teachable moment, but my mom didn't make me, and I don't think I bullied her, but it wasn't an ongoing problem, but I'm not sure what you learn if I'm like, well, I'll put you in ugly clothes too and see how you feel. Like, that's not.
What do you think, Becca? I mean, it's hard for me as a guy to have the same reaction to being put in weird clothes, because I mean, in terms of fashion for guys, it's way different. So I mean, what would your reaction be if you were just put in some sort of weird clothes like that as a punishment?
Well, it's funny because I was never the girl that was like, I look awesome and I know it and I'm going to tell other people that they don't. I mean, it wasn't that my family was poor, but I never knew how to dress. I never knew how to be cool. And I was picked on a lot for a lot of different reasons. And so it's tricky for me to think like, well, how would you check that crazy 10-year-old ego? Because my 10-year-old ego was like,
please don't yell at me again.
Yeah, exactly.
It was more of an id.
Yeah.
I was just wearing the clothes the mom was buying, right. Ironically. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah, no, I was just sort of like, I really hope nobody makes fun of me today. I want to go home from school without crying. So, like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I would be curious to hear how the results were, you know, because, I mean, it's a creative experiment in parenting, and yeah, I'm curious how it went down.
It apparently went really well, because the initial punishment was she was going to have to wear those clothes to the end of the school year. The mother felt that the daughter learned her lesson, so she stopped after like 2 weeks. So okay. It did sink in. It does in fact work. It, again, as guys growing up, that's part of growing up as a guy, is the verbal hazing of one another. Almost like if you happen
to, I think it is for girls too. I think that's there's a false, like, girls have always been nice. This is a new girls are mean. I mean, all kids can be
mean,
merciless to each other.
And I think girls are probably worse about it. I think with guys, the difference is there's a camaraderie about it when we do it, as opposed to a genuine meanness. Like,
because you're like, high five, we're gonna run the world anyway, it's cool.
Yeah, sure. that's exactly how we do it.
No, it's true, because young girls, I mean, you kind of almost shift around where it's like, these people are in and now this person is on the outs, and then there's like an alliance forms and then someone else is on the outs, and it's like you're always shuffling around and someone's always excluded, and yeah, it's well, it's tricky being a young girl.
Like, for guys, one of the things that would happen is somebody would have pants that were too short that you could see, like, a fair amount of sock.
You're flooding. And the joke would be
along the same lines. Be like, those, you expecting a flood? Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to be like, what? What are you talking about? You got your high water pants on there. And it was, and that was the extent of it. It was that sort of thing. But it would go back and forth. And
girls would be like, you're expecting a flood? Slut.
I know. I remember I had these boxer shorts with Mickey Mouse on them, and this girl used to follow me, and she sat behind me in two different classes, and she would just whisper in my ear, like, your fat legs sticking out of your Mickey Mouse shorts. Like,
oh, Jesus.
I'm not kidding. Like, that's how girls are.
We should Facebook her and haze her right now.
Right? And then during the summer, because we kind of live near each other, she'd call me up and be like, I'm poor. Do you want to hang out? Like, after, like, hazing me, like, all year.
What?
And I was a dummy, so I'd be like, okay, like, maybe she'll like me next year.
Wow.
Oh, dear. I feel like this whole article is an argument for school uniforms.
Well, again, I went to a school with school uniforms, and you still have that because...
You can still look dorky or cool in uniform, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're basically a school uniform, unless you go, you have to get your uniform from this supplier, so it's the exact same thing, but which no one's going to do because you, basically your school uniform, like for me, it was like gray trousers, a light blue button-up shirt. This is elementary school. And in the winter, we could wear gray corduroys. Well...
And that was it. No sweater. Like, that's just how hardy you are in Vermont.
Exactly.
Vermont, yeah. And a beard. You all had beards by the time you were...
I'm going to put on my three-quarter length sleeve this morning.
And in high school, it was very similar, but we had to wear a blue blazer and a blue tie. But you could go to the discount store and buy, as long as they were gray slacks, you could buy those. You didn't have to go to the fancy store like JCPenney and get the expensive one. Yeah, you got that? Exactly. So there was that. So unless you really get into that, and we had one guy, he was French Canadian. He came to our high school, and this is what we gave him crap for. He wore a blue tie. Everybody wore a blue tie. And when I was in high school, the in thing were the knit ties with the square bottom.
Yep.
And we, you know, a lot of the guys had them, and some other guys didn't. And this one guy who was French Canadian, he came down from Quebec every day. He wore a Pierre Cardin tie.
Ooh, fancy. And he was an international student.
That was the whole thing. And the other Canadian students gave him more crap about it than anybody else did. But it was like, ooh, fancy, wearing the Pierre Cardin tie? Are you going to go skiing with Jean-Claude Killy later? I mean, it was just the stupidest.
I don't either.
But it sounds like quite a burn.
Yeah, you can go look up. Hey kid, go Google Jean-Claude Killy. Anyway, so yeah, with guys, it's very different. It's not as hurtful.
Can I go back and be a guy?
I suppose I don't know if you can go back.
If you can be a guy.
I mean, look at Chaz Bono.
I don't know if Ted would still be into me if I was a guy. I think I better stick with my current gender.
Ted's pretty progressive. You don't know. I'm going to give him credit.
If only he was here to comment on this whole situation.
Yeah, he's the one who didn't want us to call him this show, so he can wonder. Y'all remember AJ Clemente, the former news anchor? Well, if you don't,
hell, I do.
Fucking shit.
Good evening. I'm Van Chu. You may have seen our new one.
So, anyway, that's how he started and ended his anchoring career at NBC affiliate KFYR. Well, he's got a new job. He is, according to RumorFix.com, he is a bartender at the Table and Tap Room in Dewey Beach, Delaware. He said, this is what I'm doing for now. I definitely need to make money for bills. So apparently, being on Letterman, the Today Show, live with Kelly and Michael, doesn't pay the bills. To add, I guess, insult to injury, because that's how I'm going to put it. He's going to be working there for the summer, and the watering hole is using his fame to draw customers in. He's now a sideshow freak, basically. The bar's marquee reads, AJ Clemente, straight from Letterman, tonight behind the bar.
That's the worst. Like, there's nothing wrong with taking a bartending gig.
Right.
Like, that is totally fine. But having people be like, you know, that guy who lost, like, come in here and get a drink from him. And then, like, everybody's going to talk to him about it and all that. Like, I don't know. I would hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, they've turned him into a sideshow freak. Because he's worked as a barback. He admitted that before he got the job for a day or two, that he had worked as a barback, and that's fine. I have no problem with I mean, it makes sense to go, you do what you got to do. But for the bar to go, yeah, we'll have you come in and do that, we're going to put this up on the marquee because we can. Because we're dicks.
I don't feel so bad about it. It's fine.
What about this? Chris Brown. He's a Grammy Award-winning musician. His neighbors are unhappy with the quote-unquote creepy art he's chosen to have painted along the curb of his Hollywood Hills home. As a neighborhood group said, the grimacing, sharp-toothed, red-eyed goblins painted along a retaining wall have been scaring local children and is an eyesore to boot. There are lots of babies, lots of children, and they're literally frightened. It's like devils on the wall, big scary eyes and big scary teeth, and just the whole vibe is not what we're used to, said Patty Negri, the president of the Hollywood Dell Civic Association. So, yeah. City code officials responded to the complaints and cited him $376 for unpermitted and excessive signage. Under city ordinances, it is illegal to create murals on most private properties. That didn't stop Madonna from painting her Hollywood Hills home red and yellow in the 90s. Brown has been ordered to remove the goblin paintings. Yeah. But his attorney, Mark Garagos, said the musician is...
Of course his attorney is Mark Garagos.
Not backing down. Mark Garagos was on the Adam Carolla show because he's pitching a book right now. I found the dude fascinating. Honestly, I don't find lawyers that fascinating, but he actually was really fascinating.
Uh-huh. Every 10th lawyer is slightly interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, his lawyers, I don't know. I can only imagine what, I should have Googled Patty Negri because I want to know what this lady looks like, because I can only imagine a weird dyed blonde slash gray bouffant hairdo of some sort and some gold jewelry. I picture her selling real estate in her spare time. Oh no. No, she's not as old as I'd imagined. That's unfortunate. There she is. Who would you say she looks like?
Is that her?
That's her.
She looks like a real housewife.
Yeah, she does. She doesn't look like she fits Chris Brown's demo, is what I'm saying.
Well, she's enough to fit his demo, just his neighborhood. I mean, it's a Hollywood Hills. Pretty much everybody lives there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they don't like his stuff. But I mean, come on, it's scaring our children. They're literally frightened.
Well, it is pretty.
As opposed to
graphic street art,
it's not neighborly.
I mean,
it looks like Meatwad from the.
Aqua Teen Hunger
Force. That's it. I want to
say. And by the way, Meatwad is the reason why I cannot watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force, because he's gross to look at. He's gross. But I don't know. I feel torn in this because I don't feel like every house should be beige and have to look exactly the same. And I think it's neat to have art and murals and things in a neighborhood. But this particular mural, it really is not attractive. It really is not welcoming or neighborly to have, like, out at the curb, you know. It's not like, I don't know, it seems a little bit
It looks like a mural in the hood is what it looks like, honestly,
which I don't even care if it's in the hood, but it's
quote
just,
unquote street art style.
Yeah, but
I don't know, it's you're not
in
my
the
favorite.
You're in the Hollywood Hills. There should not be street art in the Hollywood Hills.
I don't know, but I bet you if somebody was like paid Banksy to come and paint their wall, then there'd be some different
right theater.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Because as long as it's cute vandalism or international well-known vandalism, then we call it street art and not fucking vandalism. Sorry, pet peeve.
Yeah. I guess I just want it. I'm totally biased in this because if it was cuter or prettier or more positive, I think I'd be like, there's no problem. Like, screw all the people that want since all the houses to look the same.
I mean, since it's on his property, I'm a little bit torn and I don't know what the rules are there, if there's any, like, CC&Rs or HOA or who knows, but for the most part,
I'm guessing there's lots of nosy neighbors.
I think it's like on the retaining wall on the street. I think you can like not look at it unless you go like this down the street.
Good God, Lovey, the African American gentleman has graffiti on his retaining wall. We'll have none of this.
What is that? I mean, that's the problem with. If it's public stuff, that's the problem I have with, like, people celebrating the cute-looking artwork out there, because you can't... It's viewpoint discrimination. When it's on something in public, that's totally different from Chris Brown. But you can't, like, let the cute stuff stay and then paint out the gang stuff, because all fucking illegal.
I think you can paint out the gang stuff.
No, you can, but you also have to paint out the cute stuff, too.
Okay. It's time for Florida Corner, as we can tell by the music. As Christy M. Harrison and her boyfriend were lying in bed Wednesday evening, the 19-year-old Bradenton woman began touching him, wanting to have sex, according to an arrest affidavit. I think that's where this whole story goes awry. The couple have been dating for about 3 years and have a child together, according to the report. After the beau turned her down several times, she grabbed him and bit his penis.
Ow.
The boyfriend then pushed Harrison away, went outside where she continued to argue with him, and scratched his chest, the deputy reported. The boyfriend refused to complete a sworn affidavit and told the deputy he didn't want to press charges against his girlfriend, who was then taken to the slammer. Because that's what they do when there's domestic violence.
They do.
Yeah. They're serious about it. And then in the same article, there's a whole listing of women attacking men. about sex, which we won't get into. Some humidity does bad things to people.
Alcohol was probably involved.
My guess is, yeah. Then onward to Jupiter, Florida, where witnesses at a bowling alley said they thought it was a firecracker at first, but it turned out to be a gunshot, where a man accidentally shot himself in the leg while bowling at 7:30 p.m.
While bowling.
It mm-hmm. happens.
Sure. I'm trying to picture how the gun and the bowling even go together.
Witnesses said the man had been carrying a gun in the pocket of his shorts. The guy just stepped up to bowl, Jim Miller said. I think he hit his leg on the backswing. Added fellow witness Mike Martin, the ball hit him in the leg, which triggered the revolver. Police have not identified the victim, but witnesses said he limped back to his seat, holding his leg. His injuries were not considered to be life-threatening. Everybody kind of stopped, witness Deborah Dean said. We were way down at the end. Everybody was looking, and all of a sudden you could tell something wasn't right. He was taken to St. Mary's Medical Center as a precaution. So, nicely done.
Why the loaded gun in the pocket at the bowling alley?
I don't know. Why did Plaxico Burress...
Because it's their right.
Yeah, it's his right. Why did Plaxico Burress have a loaded gun in his sweatpants when he went to the club and shot himself in the leg?
Who?
He was a wide receiver for the Giants.
Sure he was.
And he ended up going to jail for for shooting himself in the leg at a nightclub because it was in Manhattan where gun control laws are a little bit different. And so, yeah.
So in Florida, you shoot yourself in the leg and everyone's like, eh.
Yeah. They're like, that didn't seem right. Yeah, Plaxico Burress, let me get you the details of this very quickly. He served 20 months on a weapons charge for doing essentially the same thing.
Oh, right.
Although I would argue doing it at the bowling alley at 7:30, a little bit more dangerous with kids around. He did.
7:30 really should be bedtime.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've been out bowling where people have brought their little kid out bowling at like midnight.
People take their kids to all kinds of things.
Sure they do.
But
that are wrong.
Baby at the bar.
Isn't there like a pocket safety switch for having a gun?
There should be. Yes.
In your...
Well, here's the thing about guns. Is normally you'd want to keep it in a holster and not just loose in your cargo shorts or your sweatpants or what have you.
Turns out he was not just happy to see her.
Right. Oh. Because you know how sometimes you put your phone in your pocket and you butt dial?
Yeah.
Well, imagine that with bullets.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no, like, airplane mode or, you know, like, something to prevent.
Yeah, it's called unloading the gun and leaving it in the car. The only way to ensure that you're not going to fire your gun is to unload your gun or take it apart and remove the firing pin.
Ooh,
oh, no.
Sorry. Smack, smack, smack.
Hold on. Hold on there, Kai. Smash!
Smash! Smash!
So, anyway, that happened in Florida. If it happened in New York City, a very different thing would have happened. He would have gone to jail instead of just to the hospital. So, anyway, as we reach near the end of the show, I want to remind everybody that if you're listening to the show, you obviously enjoy it. Please recommend us to a friend. Tell your friends about us, and then we can all be friends and we can have a group hug.
Yay.
A figurative one, of course, but still a group hug. And also, if you want to support the show in a more monetary sort of way or monetary sort of way, if you're shopping Amazon anyway, go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click the Shop Amazon tab and buy away. Spend till your heart's content. Father's Day is coming up. I'm buying my dad something cool for Father's Day. I'm not going to talk about it because he listens to the show every now and then. I don't want to ruin it. But Father's Day, you've got graduation coming up, is Arbor Day coming up? I don't know. There's all sorts of things over the summer. Flag Day, Armistice Day, 4th of July, barbecuing supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Need stuff like that? You can get it at Amazon. So go to NateDarlingShow.com first and then click the Shop Amazon tab. Save money, support the show, and it does not cost you anything extra to do so. And it takes a little money out of their pocket, so you're sticking it to the man. That's what you want to do, right? Stick it to the man?
Damn you, man.
Yeah. Stick it to the man, because that's what we do.
Speaking of the man.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Exactly.
Small town news.
Let's speak out about the man.
Okay, good. I was wondering where you were going with that. I'm like, oh no, I've interrupted something.
No, that was it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We go back to the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York for Speak Out, where people go ahead and write in about stuff that's concerning them.
I've been writing in to speak out for weeks now. They won't publish anything I wrote. Do you think I could speak out about that?
Yes.
They won't print it. The first one is entitled Brave. To the man who was molested by an older female sibling, I don't know who you are, but I have to say how proud I am of you for coming forward. In Speak Out.
Thank you. I was just about to say the same thing. Like 50 word limit therapy, what, for the whole town to read about?
Hey, he spoke his truth, okay?
Next one's entitled Student. A college student was hit crossing the road the other day. I drive that road. Students walk out without looking. You may have the right of way, but cars can't stop on a dime, and they hurt and can kill. Just stop and look.
I feel like that was written by that same lady who tweeted about the bicyclist.
Could be. This one's jobs. When the new mayor was elected, he stated that all part-time employment within the village would be eliminated. I guess this isn't the case. Here's somebody who wants people fired. This one's entitled Language. Any true patriot, okay, anything that starts like that, is I'm buckling in for. Any true patriot will tell you that no one should be required to speak English. Not only is that contradictory to the First Amendment, but it goes against the very principles that this country was founded on. Immigration and various cultures. That statement was wrong in so many ways. The country wasn't founded on immigration and various cultures. It was founded on...
immigration in one culture.
Yeah, I mean...
maybe like two. And, define founding.
Yeah, and the First Amendment is freedom to speak your mind and ideas and out against the government. It's not the freedom to speak a different language. You can, but okay. Here's another person who it's titled Tourism, but they're really talking language. If you don't speak English, don't come here as a tourist? Let's follow this reasoning. If you don't speak Italian, don't be a tourist in Italy. If you don't speak German, don't go to Germany. What a wonderful, ignorant world this would be. I think it already is. Words. Parents, grandparents, you say you love your children, but you use angry words that hurt. If there is something I'm doing wrong, or you want me to do, please say it nicely. Whatever happened to sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Did that go away?
No, still happens.
Okay. Didn't seem to. Is it just me, or does the legal system seem to be routine? Arrest, plea deal, get out, do it again?
Yep.
Not just so routine.
Another.
Can't we spice it up a little bit?
Right.
How about
first the plea deal, yeah. Then the crime.
I just want permission to go rob the store a little bit, and then I'll go to jail a little bit. Is that okay? Cool. Go for it.
This one's titled Streets. I wish the leaders of the city lived on the south end. If they did, maybe the roads would be repaved. It's ridiculous driving on South Catherine Street. I know I used to live off South Catherine Street, and they are so right.
You used to live in Plattsburgh?
I did. I lived in Plattsburgh, New York until 2007.
Then why can't you write in?
Well, because I don't live there now.
But can't you be like, someone who's watched Plattsburgh grow over the years, I just want to say blah, blah, blah. I try it.
I don't have that burning desire to be in the Press Republican.
This isn't you for can... you. It's not about you. It's about the team.
It's about Becca. Okay, I'll do what I can.
You could be like... like, I used to live in Plattsburgh, and now I have my own podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be really impressed.
You know what we do on the podcast? We make fun of Gordy Little, and then they would come here with pitchforks and torches. Excuse me.
Whoa.
Wow.
I was so scared I burped.
You were scared of Gordy Little's fan club.
And finally, a submission titled Parties says simply, if anyone knows there are underage parties going on, someone,
please call me.
Someone needs to let the authorities know, because we don't want kids to have fun.
People underage can't have a party?
No,
my daughter's birthday party was very scandalous. It got big. She posted it on Facebook. There were toddlers everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
Needs to be stopped.
Yeah. Is there cake?
Everywhere.
Throwing of cake?
Yeah. Like monkey feces.
Nice. Yeah. It's a college town. I think you can put one-on-one together on the underage parties. Yeah. Hey, everybody. If you see somebody having an underage party, call the police. Because there's nothing else to do but go and break up underage parties. By the way, little known fact. It's illegal to sell or have a keg of beer in the city of Plattsburgh. That's how the city decided to crack down on college drinking.
There's no other way to get beer, so that seems legitimate.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, it's along the lines of limiting the size of your soda in New York City, which they tried to do. Except, yeah, you cannot have a keg of beer. I think you can if you're a bar owner. You can have it in a bar. But you cannot buy or have a keg of beer in the city limits.
Did you go to college in Plattsburgh?
I did. I am a SUNY Plattsburgh alum.
How did you drink beer?
Out of a keg. We had kegs then.
Did you just drive to the next town and get a keg?
No. They put that in after.
Oh, was it directly because of probably. You and your generation?
Most likely, yes.
In my college town, they just wanted to keep people from parking their crappy student jalopies overnight in the street. So they kept on the books literally a Dust Bowl era anti-Oki law, because their school is directly off Route 66, saying you could not park overnight on the public streets. And anytime you wanted to, when the student lot was full, you had to call the Claremont Police Department and let them know. Well, that your car was going to be on the street, they wouldn't give you an Oki citation.
Long before I got there, Plattsburgh State University, or Plattsburgh State University College as it was known at the time.
Ooh, so good it was both schools.
Moved their spring break so that St. Patrick's Day always falls during spring break, because they did not want the college students in Plattsburgh for St. Patrick's Day, because there's nothing to do there but drink. And if you put St. Patrick's Day together with that, there's a pretty good reason for that. So anyway, that's the Nate Darling Show with factoids from Plattsburgh, New York. Everybody have a good weekend. Hug somebody you love. Pet a cat. Feed a baby duck. Go to an Abercrombie and Fitch store and just yell out, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm not going to shop here anymore.
It's Memorial Day. Take some time out.
Oh, good reminder. Go barbecue something.
Yeah.
Have a nice Memorial Day weekend, everybody. We'll see you with two new shows next week. Ted will be back.
Yay!
Unless he decides to stay where all the free food is or some sandwich lady punches him.
No. Choco tacos.
He'll come home because I make a lovely home for him.
There you go. You're learning from Pat Roberts. Learning from the best.
All?
All right, everybody. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Stay safe. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.